This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. This is The Morning Run with Wong Xiaoning and Audrey Raj. It is 7.06 a.m. on Wednesday, the 25th of November. And in about 15 minutes, we'll be speaking to Azrul Mohamed Khalib, Chief Executive of the Galen Centre for Health and Social Policy, on the government's decision to stop the mandatory 14-day quarantine for Sabah returnees. But before that, let's take a look at the markets.
Well, it was another stellar day in the U.S. In fact, we've hit new record highs for the Dow Jones, right? So the Dow closed up 1.5%, S&P 500 closed up 1.6%, NASDAQ was up 1.3%. Meanwhile, in Asia, I think it was still very much a positive day, although there were two markets that was down, one of which is Kuala Lumpur Stock Exchange, the Bursa. KLCI, we were down 1.2%. Shanghai Com was down 0.3%, but every other market was up. So Nikkei was up 2.5%. Hang Seng was up 0.4%. Kospi surged 0.6%. In Singapore, stellar day too, up 1.5%.
Right. Let's take a look at the headlines. We have one on HP.
Yeah, I mean, everyone knows HP, household name, right? So, but they reported quarterly revenue that topped Wall Street estimates, supported by customer upgrades of PCs and printers for remote work and school during the pandemic. So, but despite that, revenue did fall by about 1% to $15.3 billion in the quarter ending October, beating the average analyst expectations of $14.7 billion. And this is data from Bloomberg. So net income came in at about $800 million. Analysts were expecting 52 cents a share, but the company managed to hit 62 cents a share. Now, meanwhile, HP saw record unit shipments of PCs of 19 million units and a solid quarter for printers of 12 million.
Right. And for some analysis on where global markets are headed, we have on the line with us Jack Cousy, Director for Strategy at VFS Group in Sydney. Good morning, Jack.
Morning, guys. How are you?
All good, Jack. So U.S. markets had another rally with the Dow closing at a record high of 30,000 points. It's clearly risk on for the moment, but are markets actually priced to perfection? Should we be getting nervous?
I mean, we've seen a big rotation, haven't we? Even the big tech bull like myself has to acknowledge that we've seen a massive rotation into some of these cyclical stocks. I think we're seeing what we saw out of these tech stocks or these work-from-home stocks. We're pulling forward earnings quicker than we have in history, and that's because the market just simply moves. Look, I think some sectors are starting to get fairly priced. Some of them, I think, are overpriced. I mean, I look at the airlines. I know this is exuberance that we're going to, you know, jump back on a plane because we've got two or three vaccines. But, you know, I wonder how quickly that's going to happen. If we look back in history, you know, the biggest disruptions we had to travel was September 11. It took us 3 years to get back to those pre-rates. But then I look at some of the industrials. I think, you know, there's some value there. I talk about, you know, Caterpillar or Boeing. You know, those things I think are going to do quite well and are still fairly priced and have some value for markets. But I think we're seeing what we saw in May and June. We're pulling forward earnings really quickly and we're doing a lot of these cyclical stocks. But in saying that, I think all conditions say we're going to get a rally into the new year. We've got now hopefully a peaceful transition of the United States presidency. We've got an enormous amount of Fed stimulus, which is still going to continue. I mean, Powell's echoed that in the last couple of days. We've got a possible fiscal plan all around the world, and we've got the exuberance of a vaccine, which looks quite likely going to be rolled out, you know, in early Jan. So if you want to talk about variables in this market, I think we're going to see a almighty Santa Claus rally.
And Jack, you know, since we're having this discussion on what's overpriced and what's fairly priced or even underpriced, now recently we saw small caps getting some action, right? To Russell 2000 jumping 20% in the month, the most since this index started in 1978. Now, is this something you're looking to get back in? Because for the longest time with COVID-19, it was just all about the big caps.
Yeah. I acknowledge. I think there is a rotation up in plan. I think being overweight tech might not be the play going forward over the next 3 to 4 weeks. I mean, we've spoken about this in the last couple of months. We talked about US banks, we talked about US small caps, and we talked about these industrials. So I think there is actually more for a room for them in your portfolio. And I think you'll still see this little bit of an outperformance of that cyclical play over tech over the next couple of months. And that's a lot coming from me, as you know.
So, Jack, Singapore equities have surged this month. Do you have your eye on any companies there, or are the current valuations too high?
Yeah, I mean, I don't watch the market too strongly. What I will say, I won't talk about specific stocks. What I will say is I think you're seeing, I mean, I saw there was 8 months high on the Singapore market. I think it's getting a lot of benefit from what's happening in Hong Kong. I think Singapore is going to be seen as that hub. I think a lot of the business that was going to Hong Kong in terms of multinationals setting up there, I think you're going to see a transition away from that into Singapore, and I think that economy is going to benefit from it. You're going to see a lot of foreign direct investment in there, a lot of inflow there, and that should echo out to its companies underneath. But like any other, you know, region around the world, I think they're seeing the benefits of this recovery trade in this recovery place. So, but in terms of Singapore as a hub, I think you're going to see a lot of benefit of what we're seeing out of Hong Kong and obviously what's going on there with the motherland in China.
And Jack, I want you to cast your eyes a little bit wider, right? Within this region, the ASEAN region, other than Singapore, are there any other markets that excite you? Perhaps even Malaysia?
Well, I can't say I'm not excited by the country of Malaysia. Look, what investors need to understand now is we are in the midst of recovery. So we're moving away from, you know, this big hit we've taken in the market. And the fundamental basis that we need to understand is, okay, so where is the growth? And when you look at growth, growth is built on the middle class. So when I look at an economy like Malaysia, it has a massive emerging middle class. It's moving from that developing status to that middle income status. And that is only beneficial for an economy. So you want to be in places where wages are growing, where the economy is growing and people are moving towards different areas in terms of their wealth. And Malaysia is primed for that. Not only is it primed in that area, it's got a big young population. And we know from economies, they're the ones that are driving economic growth and driving the share prices of companies. So in terms of having it as a spot, I have no reason not to have a little bit of investment in Malaysia. And I have that via broad Asian ETFs that we buy here for our clients.
Right. Now, it started like he didn't quite like us, but then, you know, towards the end, I think he gave us a bit of a save there. So, Jack, maybe a slightly more comfortable topic for you. Let's talk about China. Has China's recent antitrust regulation changed your perception towards investing in Chinese tech companies? And how do you think giants like Tencent and Meituan will navigate those rules?
Yeah, I mean, let's talk about this for a moment. This is an unbelievable story. I mean, the fact that Ant Financial was pulled out a day before the IPO, you know, tells you a lot about what's going on. And the fact that I think this is a story of who's your daddy in China. and it's the Chinese central government showing these tech companies that they are the daddy and that they have ultimate control over what goes on there. To give your viewers or listeners a little bit of perspective, there's talk about these antitrust laws and whether you dominate 50% or more of a market, you then come under these antitrust laws. The other thing that we saw out of Ant Financial, and let me explain this. So when Ant or someone like Tencent lends money on their apps, which is a big portion of their business, let's say they lend $100. Well, on average, they're lending only 3% of that money, right? So it's only coming out of their balance sheet. Only 3% of that $100 is coming out of their balance sheet. The rest is coming out of banks. What the Chinese central government is saying now is you now have to put $30 of that $100 into that loan, which changes the valuations on these companies. No longer can you see them as massive fintech companies and give them the multiples or 30s or 40s or 50s sometimes, but maybe you need to have a blend between that fintech and that banking sector where you've got a multiple of 9 or 10. I think the two companies that are in the crosshairs of this is no doubt Alibaba and Ant Financial and Tencent. Mm. These companies have become very big. Their tentacles are everywhere. They dominate more than 50% of market across a number of streams within the Chinese economy. And I think this was a, again, I'll say it not to be funny, but who's your daddy moment saying, listen, we're going to put you in check. Don't forget that there is an ultimate boss here, and that's the CCP and not the tech companies in China. So I think this hurts their valuations. It certainly has in terms of prices. There's going to be a time to buy these companies. I don't think that time is right now because I think you're going to see more regulation, particularly on these big two mega cap tech companies within China.
All right. Thank you for that, Jack. That was Jack Kuzi, Director for Strategy at VFS Group. Up next, we'll be speaking to Azrul Mohamed Khalib, Chief Executive at Galen Center for Health and Social Policy, on the government's decision to stop the 14-day mandatory quarantine for Sabah returnees. Stay tuned. This is The Morning Run, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.